The Siren Round Robin, written by I Am the Svi, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman and Danny Phantom crossover. Summary. Damian Wayne has finally returned home, but he's been unreceptive to Dick Grayson's physical affection, always running slash swimming away and looking smug about it. Luckily, Dick Grayson has a plan. What he didn't plan for was for his siblings to start stealing his thunder. It was a tearful reunion when Damian finally came back to them. After months of searching, and then grieving, even the endlessly hopeful Dick was beginning to lose his spirit. When Damian slammed open the manor doors, tiny, naked, dripping wet, and body irreversibly changed, they celebrated, and they cried. They were right, and right in the way they'd never wanted to be. Damian had drowned, was honest to God, dead. And only by turning him into a creature of the sea had he been saved. The others were wary of their stabby little brother, now armed with sharp teeth and claws, but Dick could tell something was radically different about Damian, and it wasn't the scales. The kid was softer somehow. The cold glare that had been a constant fixture in his eyes when he was human had softened into a pouting look. The insults and scathing comments lost a lot of their bite. He hadn't even deprecated Tim once. And, boy, was that a miracle, even though Tim seemed to be put more on edge by the lack of negativity than the presence of it. Poor Tim. It was a very big adjustment for everyone, needless to say. Damian's vocal cords were still weak, and his status as Robin would need to be reviewed, as well as how to reintroduce him to the public. But for now, the family was happy to have their youngest back. They were slightly less happy to see the construction crews. Sure, Damie could shift his tail and legs and walk just fine, plus there was a wheelchair if human locomotion ever got too tiring, but he was still a sea creature and needed water for most of the day. It seemed B had interpreted that as, renovate the entire manor into a water park. Dick watched as Green Lanterns and a very apologetic Aquaman directed Atlantean workers as they dug pools, constructed canals, and fit water tunnels connecting the entire manor. It was a majorly impressive feat of engineering. It looked like his brothers had something to say about that, though. Why does Demon Brat get the entire house refit just because he fucked off for a few months and came back as a fish? Jason grumbled. Dick only half-minded the comment as he was currently trying to turn into spaghetti and dodge Jason's punches as he tried to close in for a hug. Come on, Jason, it's just a few accommodations. Dick lunged for Jason's legs. Without his mobility, it would be way easier to pin him down. Jason sidestepped Dick's hug attack and let the older man go flying. B's turning the manor into a shitty copy of Venice. He never did anything like that for me, did he? He gave you the entire library, Jason. He literally badgered the Justice League for OG copies of books just for you. Jason froze. What? Yeah, didn't he tell you? Dick blinked. No. Jason stomped off, presumably to have another shouting match with B, and very pointedly ignoring Dick's cuddle arms. God damn it. Tim crunched on popcorn from the sidelines. You know, Jason low-key has a point, he said. Dick groaned. Not you too. I mean, I didn't get crap out of B either. Can you blame Jason for being mad at B's playing favorites? What about the escape rooms? They were too easy. They had JL-level security. Refer to the above paragraph. Tim tossed another 6 kernels into the air, catching them with his mouth without blinking. Turns out all his siblings were a little grumbly about it, except for Cass, who was endlessly humble. She was just excited to be Damie's sign language teacher. He's like a kitten. Throws fits. Hisses when frustrated. Meows sometimes. Do not mention these to him, she'd told him once. Stars had appeared in Dick's eyes. Bring a hidden camera next time, Dick had instructed. Cass nodded firmly. Outside of the endlessly wonderful and kind Cass, Duke was about as grouchy as Jason was. Steph had spent breakfast loudly complaining about not getting anything nice. She wasn't even B's daughter. And even Barbara had chimed in at one point. She wasn't Bee's daughter either, and she had an entire clock tower to herself. Frankly, Dick was starting to think it was a little ridiculous. "Easy for you to say," Steph shouted from the other end of the dining table. "You got a whole ballroom turned into a gym just for you." Dick raised his hands defensively. "It's open for all you guys, too." "It's the principle of the matter." "Yeah, dickface. No wonder you're defending the brat's special treatment." Damien sat beside Dick, face positively radiating smugness, as he clicked and chirped something equally smug. He really needed to learn siren speak now, too. "I can't understand you, you creature from the deep reject, but that doesn't mean I don't know what you're saying." Damien chittered something back before picking up a fork and taking aim. Just as Dick was about to stop him, Bee came to the rescue. Actually, Bee was totally useless at stopping these fights. It was Alfred standing beside Bee that actually got the brothers to stand down and return to a state of glaring menacingly at each other. Ahem. Bruce sat down, squaring his shoulders. "There's something I feel like I need to talk to you about." Dick always made his complaints vocal about Bee's emotional constipation. How the guy choked on water when Dick accidentally called him Dad back when he was 16, Dick was mortified too. But as Bruce began an obviously prepared and rehearsed speech about how much he cares about them all, the cringe reflex in Dick told him that maybe he should have been careful what he wished for. "Damie! Oh, Damie!" Dick called. He roamed the halls of the manor, scanning the water tunnels for his wayward baby batfish. "Where are you?" A green blur whizzed by him. There he was. Damie, come back," Dick shouted, holding his arms out. "Stop avoiding me. I can't take it anymore, please." Turns out, his stash of photos from Damie's sign language lessons was not as well hidden as he'd thought they were. Baby Batfish had been furious, almost gave Tim a new bite mark, then stormed off into the waterways. He dashed after his little brother, knowing where he'd go. He spotted a green tail fin disappearing behind the corner into the hallway where Damie's room was. "Damie, please forgive me. Why don't we talk about this?" A tiny growl echoed from behind the door. "Damie, come on, let's be reasonable here." A series of grumpy chirps. "You were gone for months. I never thought I'd see you again." Dick laid on the heavy voice and the puppy eyes, knowing Damie was watching the cameras. "I thought I'd lost another one of my family again. It was the worst month of my life." A hissing, raspy, "No," came out. "Damie, please, won't you forgive your favorite big brother?" he whined. "Whined." The latch clicked open. Dick's face split open in naked joy. "Yes!" He jumped into Damien's room, searching for baby batfish to tell him he loved him and smother him with hugs and... he was underwater. He was underwater in the pool installed by Bruce in his room. He was underwater and there was a net at the surface. The net was taut and was for safety, to prevent people stumbling into the water. Now it prevented Dick from getting to hug his baby brother. Damien sat at the bottom, arms crossed, grinning smugly, as if to dare Dick to try and enter his domain. Dick's heart broke into tiny little pieces. Suddenly, Dick was feeling a lot more sympathetic to his siblings' outcries of unfairness, because this was absolutely unfair. Every time Damien wanted to avoid him, or just wanted to make him suffer, all he needed to do was sit at the bottom of his pool and watch as Dick stood at the surface, begging like a lost puppy. And it wasn't just his own room, either. Damie would put himself in very visible, yet also very inaccessible places just to taunt Dick. In the Bat Cave, in the new Bat Cove, in the garden. There was no end to the number of places Damie could sit and taunt Dick. And you might think, "Dick, you're being clingy," or "Dick, he needs his space," or "Dickhead, stop mothering the kid like you smother us, you fucking octopus." And these may be valid, but Dick will let you know that he is looking out for his little brother's best interests. When Phantom had brought Damien home, he also gave Dick and the family a number of very specific instructions on how to care for a little siren. And chief among those being that sirens are made of magical energy that is fueled by emotion. And what better way to convey lots of positive emotions than a nice warm hug? Damie's little hissy fit over physical affection was literally going to starve him, and no big brother would ever, ever allow such a thing to happen. And so, Dick did what every bat did best. Prepare. It took some time, but Dick managed to locate a totally ethical and not at all shady source that would ask no questions. Apparently, the process was uber painful by the traditional methods, but lately there had been strides in making it more palatable. Sure, he had to do some rather unsavory things, like blowing up poacher ships, and it was freaking expensive too. Hope Tim didn't look into Bruce's finances too closely, but it would all be worth it. Dick stood alone in the bat cove, his clothes gathered in a pile beside him. He held the potion in his hands, a nauseating concoction of hormones, pheromones, chemical reagents, and a lime for flavor. He'd seen another potion from the exact same batch used on a young woman with a taste for adventure, so he knew it would work. Bottoms up. It didn't taste as bad as he'd imagined. Searing pain lit up in every nerve of his body. Damian Wayne curled up on himself at the wet half of his room in blissful peace. The entire room had been redecorated and refurbished to suit his new body and tastes. The gold wall paint was replaced by darker blues reminiscent of the cool ocean, with glowing stars forming constellations on the ceiling in honor of who brought him here. His pool was no swimming pool, but a home in and of itself. It was populated by schools of fish and crabs and colonies of mussels, barnacles, and oysters to filter the water naturally. The corners of his water room supported stalks of kelp and seaweed. Not enough to form a proper forest, but enough to give the pool a much-needed dash of green. Rock and coral formed an arch overhead, where Damian elected to hang a lamp for him to read. The finishing touch was the blanket and bed tucked inside the cave, something to soothe his instincts for when things got too much. Best of all, he was completely undisturbed. No Richard being clingy, no Drake being irritating, nor Todd being loud, or Brown being incessant. Just him and his books and paint and sea creatures. Damian lay on his belly in the middle of the sandy opening in the pool, curled up in a circle. A waterproof book on whale speak sat on his tail fin, authored by a siren writer commissioned by Queen Dora, who was making strides in the cultural and political development of her kingdom. Damian rolled his tongue, silently testing the unfamiliar sounds in his mouth. Some of the syllables required mouth movements he had never made before in his life. It was an exhilarating challenge. Damian's lateral line tingled. He slammed the book closed. Damian's body tightened into a fighting stance. He scanned the area, but no sign of any intruders. Was it Danny camouflaging in? But it was a school day, and Danny was on the other side of the country. No. The shape his lateral line detected was far larger, far stronger. Damian's breath hitched. How did this thing get into his room unnoticed? His claws unsheathed, voice trilling a death rattle. Who dared breach his sacred sanctuary? They would pay. Damian focused his line and sniffed the water. The scent? It was familiar somehow, but he had never smelled it before. Damian sniffed again. His sail shot up. The enemy was right above him. A powerful weight slammed into Damian. Before he could react, he was completely surrounded. Black suckers latched to his fins, pressing down and restricting his movement. Damian lashed out with claws, but another pair of thick octopus arms whipped around his wrists and bound them together. Damian thrashed, howling obscenities and demands. He sought out the nearest arm and went for the bite, only for a towel to be shoved into his mouth. Damian eyed the panic button inside his bedchamber. If he could just get out of this hold. But the enemy was too strong. Every twitch and wiggle felt like it was hitting a brick wall. Then, the strangest thing happened. A pair of arms, humanoid arms, not octopus arms, wrapped around his back, not to attack, but in a sickening, tender motion. The arms pulled him against a lean, muscled chest. Wait a minute, this scent... Damie, came Richard Grayson's squealing voice, now rendered in siren-like trills. Instead of his normal pale Eastern European skin tone, Richard sported dark black slimy skin across his entire body, patterned with hundreds of rings. The rings were dark blue on the outer edges and lined with a blue inner ring, forming a mesmerizing pattern across his body. How did he become a siren? Damian howled against his towel gag. Richard's arms, all 10 of them, crushed Damien against his chest, like every hug he had scorned coming back to crash down on him at once, leaving Damien feeling like wet putty.
Damien, I missed you so much. Why have you been ignoring me?
Damien spat out the towel, growling viciously.
So as to avoid this exact scenario, how did you get in here? How did you acquire a siren form? That doesn't matter, baby batfish. I'm doing it to keep you happy and healthy,
Richard sang in his nagging, whining puppy voice. Damien gagged.
I would be much happier if you would let me go. Nope.
To emphasize his point, Richard leaned down and rubbed his chin into Damien's hair. How dare he? He'd spent an hour styling it. He was going to... Damien's body went limp. Richard's entire body rumbled. The purring struck from every direction. There was no escape. Damien's tiny, weak body was helpless to resist. His muscles melted into jelly. His eyelids drooped. His throat rumbled with its own purr, as he had no power to stop it. Damien cursed Richard Grayson with every swear in every language he knew, including whale speak, before sleep overtook him. Tim Drake was suspicious. First, a week went by of Dick vehemently defending Bruce's decision to revamp the manor to be fish-friendly, a decision that Tim agreed with but continued to protest on the basis of seeing Bruce wither like a sad puppy and getting a rise out of Dick. Then came a week of Dick turning around and complaining that Damien was using the pools to avoid him, which honestly served him right. Then Dick suddenly looked happy again. Tim saw him trotting into the kitchen one morning, a stupid grin plastered all over his face. And when Tim had asked him what was up, Dick had said, "Oh, things are going just right." As if that answered anything. Not to mention, Damien had a sucker mark on his arm. Don't lie to Tim, he knew what he saw. The demon child hid it well underneath his shirt sleeve and makeup, but it couldn't fool Tim. And Dick's... odor. As a gymnast and noted athlete, as well as nighttime hero and playboy that could rival Bruce's public persona, Dick was very conscious about keeping his BO in check. However, it seemed he had been going lax on that routine lately. The other night, Tim had bumped into Dick on the way to the cave, and he smelled salty. Like fish? But his hair was damp and not crusty at all from salt water, and smelled like minty fresh conditioner. So he'd just showered, but still smelled like fish? It was a stumper. So Tim left a few bugs around the manor. It was his love language, don't judge him. And he heard clicks and trills coming from Damien's room. Not the high-pitched baby sounds Damien made, but actual adult siren speech. But he checked the tunnel cameras and saw nobody enter or leave. So they were camouflaged. Tim's nerves rattled. Had something breached their system? No, Damien would have alerted them. Did he invite them in or allow them? Was he threatened? Tim had to gather more evidence. So he added more cameras monitoring the entrances and exits to the canal system. And it was on a lazy Sunday afternoon that Tim's notifications pinged him. The teenager scrambled to retrieve his laptop and opened the camera system immediately. The cameras caught motion in the front garden, but did not see anybody enter or exit. However, Tim managed to log on at just the right moment. A large t-shirt appeared out of nowhere and then was flung off behind a bush. Then a pair of pants, then black underwear, then socks and shoes. Hold on a second. Those were Dick's shoes. And Dick's pants. And Dick's t-shirt. And Dick's socks. And, let's just say Tim was very thorough back when he was in his Batstalker era. The water splashed, but no visible sign of a person or animal seemed to have caused it. It was his mystery intruder, caught red-handed, but still invisible. Not only were they guilty of breaking into the manor uninvited, but they also stole Dick's clothes. Unless... Unable to gain visual data on the intruder, Tim instead searched his other cameras. He latched onto the inconsistency he knew would be there. Tim watched as Dick appeared on the feed from about 3 minutes ago. The man peeked out of his bedroom, a prankster's grin clear on his face. Dick walked down the hallway, then out of the camera's line of sight. The next camera should have caught his movements, but instead, nothing. So Tim decided to investigate on foot. It was very easy, seeing as Bruce was out on business, Alfred was going on some spiritual retreat, and Duke was on patrol. One easy lockpick got him in, and a quick flip landed him out of Dick's customary glue trap, which was honestly getting old. He needed better enrichment than this. At first, the bedroom looked as normal as it ever did, but Tim always came prepared. He brought his scanner to Dick's belongings, picking up distinct traces of sea salt and octopus mucus? That sold it. Tim retreated back to his room, the unraveling truth shaking him. His cheeks burned. So that was what was happening. Of course it would be the two favorites, the Golden Child and the Blood Son. Of course Bruce would rush so quickly to get this freaking canal system together. He wouldn't be surprised if he and Dick planned this from the start. Well, fuck it. The waterways were too big for two sirens to share. Tim set to tracking Dick's search history and his contact history and his tracker history. It's his love language, don't shame. It was about time he had a scaly makeover, he thought. Tim Placeman stood in Jason's apartment. This was the third one this month. How in the fuck did he keep finding them? With a whiteboard and a projector, as if Jason wasn't about to throw him out the window. Seriously, this kid had the self-preservation instincts of a lemming. Tell me why I would entertain this. It'll be worth it, I promise. Jason stared at him blankly. Just watch and see. Please reserve all comments for the end of the presentation. Jason spun his guns. This had better be worth it. The projector came to life. On the whiteboard, the presentation began with a whopper of a title. There are many benefits to becoming a siren, and why you should join me in screwing over Bruce's plans. Okay, now Jason was listening. Then came the juicier bits. Midway through the presentation, Tim's situation just kept hitting him with the arguments. Siren biology includes 1. Increased overall strength. 2. Increased jaw strength and teeth sharpness. 3. Immunity to many poisons and toxins. 4. Increased intimidation factor. A little doodle accompanied each point. Jason was particularly interested in the second doodle, showing a cartoon siren version of him biting clean through Joker's neck. He didn't know Air Tim Parent had such a violent imagination. Then, the second illustration showed him being totally fine despite the Joker venom. The last doodle showed drug smugglers shitting their pants as cartoon Jason's dorsal fin peeked over the surface. Then came the part explaining B's bullshit. It came with a cartoon Bruce rubbing his hands nefariously as he broke his back to coddle his two favorites, while Jason and Blood Timsty stood together on the back lines, ignored. Then, the final illustration showed B on the ground, kneeling in humiliation and crying, his favoritism having been exposed and subverted. Pinch Timmer finished his presentation with a dramatic bow. Thank you for listening. Well, at first you had my attention. Now you have my interest, Jason intoned with his classic crime boss voice. That's exactly what I expected, the younger said, pulling out two vials of swirling liquid. Stephanie Brown seethed. She simmered. She was about to boil over. How dare the boys get up to this shit without her? She was practically their sister from another asshole mister. She would have stomped, but seeing as she was on a metallic fire escape outside Jason's room, she wisely held back, lest Jason decide to use his new body to maul her to pieces. Well, two can play at that game. Steph was going to be the most beautiful and deadly mermaid this side of the East Coast, and nothing was going to stop her. Cass knew instantly what was going on. The way the boys acted all shifty around each other, the very, very, very subtle aroma of fish sea salt around them that they thought they could hide with deodorant, and perfume in Jason's case. She knew they were hiding something. In fact, she already knew what they were hiding. They had all become sirens. And frankly, the reasons why they shed their humanity and adopted monstrous new bodies from the abyssal ocean, using human disguises to hide the vicious predators they had become, was hilarious to her. Damien whined in front of her, the poor baby boy frustrated as his webbing got in the way of his signs. She almost giggled at how grumpy he looked, tinged with a vulnerability he had never let himself show as a human. Regardless, Cass was still new to siren mannerisms. She made sure to study them extensively, to know how to read her baby brother's new body and body language. Her preparation could only do so much, however. She was used to human behaviors and human expressions. Maybe if she closed the species gap? Cass ruffled Damien's hair. She held a special title as the only person in the household who could get away with such actions unharmed in any way, a privilege she silently lorded over the others. Good job, little brother. Tomorrow. Damien muttered something in hushed chirps, but his fin twitches suggested something akin to annoyance, but not at her. Probably at the boys' shenanigans. "It will be okay," she whispered, before waving goodbye. She saw Stephanie in the hallway, looking extremely suspect. Ah, so she was going to be in on it too. Good. Cass snuck up on her honorary sister, and then placed her hands on the blonde's shoulders. Stephanie yelped. "Cass," she whisper shouted, "don't do that to me. I'm handling sensitive cargo." Cass nodded. She gestured to the vial Steph was definitely smuggling. "I want in." Steph's posture went from defensive to surprised to shocked and finally resigned. "Ugh, I literally can't hide anything from you. Do you know how much of Bruce's money this stuff cost?" "No, but he has more." Steph grinned. "That's true." The girls snuck off together into the night. Look, Duke knew from day one what had happened with Dick, then Jason and Tim, then freaking Cass and Steph, too. He swore Barbara would have been roped into the action if she hadn't been away with the Birds of Prey all month. When he first came here, Duke was honestly terrified. He was just a normal, meta, teenager in a house full of people who worked with the Justice League, the Teen Titans, Young Justice, and a million other groups, all easily capable of bringing down the best of each of those teams. Needless to say, the pressure was high in those days. Duke thought he'd managed it. He became friends, then brothers, with these crazy people. He went out as a hero and proved himself worthy of the bat symbol on his chest. Now? Duke suddenly felt scared again. Sometimes he regretted the things his vision let him see. Dick's friendly smile hid the venom of a blue-ringed octopus, and Jason's white streak hid a freaking anglerfish's lure, and holy shit, was Steph a lionfish now? Please tell him she wasn't a lionfish. Suddenly, he was surrounded by predators and monsters from the deep wearing human skin, and honestly, he was losing sleep at night. Each night, he woke up in a cold sweat. Like, they were scary enough as normal people. God save him. And what scared him most was that he was next. Probably whether he liked it or not. These things just had a flow to them, a domino effect more powerful than some people could resist. So, when Jason slipped him a vial of clear liquid at dinner that night, Duke felt too resigned to say no. Down the hatch. Bruce Wayne was a happy man. His family, and yes, even Stephanie, even if Tim insisted she was a moocher, was all back together under the same roof, ready for Alfred's seafood extravaganza. Even young Daniel and his family were over, in thanks for all he had done and sacrificed to bring Damien home to them. The 3 months Damien were gone had been harrowing, but it was all over. His speech, curated and revised by Alfred and his new therapist, went over about as well as he'd expected. The cringing is what kids do when their parents make it public their love for them. Don't overthink it, she had said. Ugh, if only she knew. She did know. What warmed his heart the most was seeing the love and care that everyone had for Damien, knowing how contentious his introduction to their home had been. He'd once caught Dick pretending to chirp along to Damien to help him feel less alienated, being a siren in a home full of humans. The other day, Jason made snapping teeth gestures at him, but with no bite or malice, just a brother teasing a brother. Cass and Steph even took the boy to the beach to watch over him as he explored the waters, made clean with the help of Poison Ivy, of all people, whom they had promised freedom and official support for her plans in exchange for her expertise in removing toxins. That, and a promise to avoid any further murder and terrorism. Even now, he saw the renewed bond between his kids. Tim indulged in Damien's more feral tendencies, exchanging hisses and baring teeth at each other. Apparently, that was how siren children engaged in playful banter, according to Jasmine Fenton's thesis. Tim even put on fake fangs to mimic Damien's real ones, a gesture that almost brought a tear to Bruce's eye. At this point, The whole house was constantly filled with the smell of sea salt from all the time each member spent swimming with Damien. Of course, for now, the scent was pushed away by the delectable smell of Alfred's cooking. Once the signal was given, everyone began to dig in, the table filled with chatter and laughter. Bruce and Jack bantered in rapid technical language, while Daniel and Duke hit it off. Jasmine found good company with Barbara and Cass, while Samantha, it's Sam, showed off her new protest flyers to Damien. Tim and Tucker formed an instant rivalry, each boy spouting off barbs about the other's technological skills. Even Jason got roped in at some point. Bruce looked over to Dick, the boy who started it all. Bruce Wayne once feared that he would never be happy again. As he looked to the family that somehow found him despite everything, he began to truly, truly relax. But somebody was missing. Where was Alfred? The butler in question rolled into the kitchen, pushing a cart full of wine, champagne, Coke, and other drinks. "My deepest apologies, Master Bruce, family and guests, for the delay. A certain someone has sabotaged my efforts." Alfred gave Daniel a dirty look. Daniel didn't even defend himself. Instead, his mouth was gaping open. Actually, the entire dinner table was staring in open-mouthed shock at Alfred. Why, you may ask? Alfred Pennyworth, 70-year-old butler to the Wayne family, the man each person considered a grandfather, the man who raised Bruce Wayne after he lost his parents, and someone who was definitely beginning to slow down in old age, stood there, in polite confusion, at the shocked looks. The wrinkles that aged his face were now smooth like an athlete in his prime. His hair, which had gone white since Dick's days as Robin, was slicked back and black as the night sky. His posture, which had been shrinking as his bones withered under the weight of decades of service, shot up to almost as tall as Jason. "I beg your pardon, is something on my face?" Alfred Pennyworth died. This statement may sound alarming to those not aware of his unique condition, but it was true. Thankfully, it was all part of the plan. See here, Alfred was beginning to slow down in recent years. Although ever dedicated and diligent, he noticed his schedule was getting more and more difficult to hold up. He noticed himself losing energy faster and faster during the day. At one point, he had almost slipped going down the stairs, an utterly embarrassing blunder. Young Master Bruce had insisted that he hire additional staff, delegate, slow down. "It'll be fine," he said. "The boys have been getting too comfortable bringing work upstairs anyway," he said. Utter nonsense. Alfred Pennyworth had been acting as the one-man team of cleaner, groundskeeper, chef, curator, and babysitter for 50 years, all on his own. And he would not tolerate such a prideful accomplishment being torn away by something as ridiculous, as absurd as old age. No, that would not do. It would not do at all. And so, Alfred went on a 2-week holiday to his origins, a cozy little reef in the Gibraltar Strait. There, he shed his holiday outfit for a robe befitting his seniority and habitat. Alfred jumped into the water, where his legs became tendrils and skin became clear like glass. Alfred greeted old friends and family, some of whom as elderly ladies, gentlemen, and other people of such a respectful nature, others as tiny polyps, children ready to begin a new life. There, surrounded by familiar faces, Alfred died. His body deteriorated, his tissue faded away into the waters. His expression was peaceful the entire time. And then he awoke, refreshed and ready. Alfred spent the next 2 weeks retraining his muscles and memory, and his muscle memory. He indulged in old memories, chatted with old friends, and toured the Mediterranean. Along the way, he visited some of the same locales that young Master Damien had visited on his long journey home. Before long, he was ready once again. Feeling every bit like the new man he was, Alfred fared his old pod goodbye and returned to his new pod. Alfred delighted in imagining what their faces would look like once they saw him. The end.